It is Sunday morning, August the 11th, and we are studying in 1 John chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. And the subject is fellowship with God and with each other. And today we come to a passage of Scripture which teaches us that fellowship is our position with God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your word, and we do so in humble prayer to ask that the Holy Spirit would teach us the truth of this passage and cause us to believe it and live it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now to our text in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. If you have your Bible with you, get it out so you can follow the teaching of this important message. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and live in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we live in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that you sin not. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, last week we studied through verses 1 through 4 and discovered that the apostles are having fellowship with the Father and the Son and are declaring this message so that we could know to join in fellowship with Christ. And their desire is that our joy may be full. So, fellowship is established there. It is our position. And we also considered the fact that the primary purpose of our salvation is for fellowship with God. Now, many people think it's for some activity. or something churchy. No, it is for fellowship with God Himself. Now, beginning in verses 5 through 7, we turn to the realm of fellowship, or the kingdom of fellowship. Where does fellowship take place? It takes place in the light. Verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, the fellowship we're talking about is a relationship. It is a friendship. It's living in harmony and unity with the Lord God. And the blessing is the fullness of joy. And fellowship with God is the greatest human experience. Nothing compares. Nothing the world offers. No amusement, no recreation approaches the fullness of joy in fellowship with God. Now in verse 5, John says, this is the message. We have a message, and we're declaring it to you. And he tells us the source of the message. This is the message which we have heard from Him. So what we are considering now is a message of from Him. It's divine revelation. The apostles did not create this message. It is not from any human source. It is from Christ Himself, whom they saw, whom they heard, whom they touched, and this is the message. That's the source. Now, He not only gives us the source, but the substance. What is that message? This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Now, primarily, we're talking about spiritual light. And notice the text does not say God is a light. He is light. God is light. It's from within. All light comes from Him, because it's within Him. It's from within. Now, there are several things about the wording, God is light, that are included in this thought. First of all, it includes God's glory, His shining majesty, His awesome splendor. The natural human eye is unable to behold the radiance of God without being blinded. We have all seen the majesty of God in some ways. You think of sunrises and sunsets. A pastor was camping with a friend in the Arizona, in the Monument Valley there. And in the morning, the friend was up just looking out across the valley to the mountain. It was about sunup. The pastor got up and looked, and he said to his friend, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm watching God create a new day with the sun blazing coming up there. The glory of God." Well, it not only refers to His glory, but to His purity. His divine nature. In Him is no blemish, no flaw, no mar. absolute holiness, which sets him apart, and in him is no darkness at all. Divine glory, divine purity. God is perfect within. Now, this term light also refers to truth. Darkness represents falsehood. Light represents truth, the truth of God's divine wisdom. Therefore, whatever contradicts God is a lie. Whoever contradicts God is a liar. God is the source of truth. And he gives us that truth in the Bible, and he gives us that truth personally in Christ. God is light, and we have fellowship with him in the light. It's a new realm for us because we all started in unbelieving darkness, and we had to be translated into this new kingdom of light. And fellowship with God in the light is our position. It is not an optional human experience. It is our established position by what God has done for us, which we could not do for ourselves. We could never deliver ourselves from the power of darkness. We could never transfer ourselves out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. But here we are because God has done it. It is our position. Now, we need to consider some of the qualities of light. First of all, it brings visibility. In the natural realm, we're all very familiar with that. The need for light. And if we get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, we stumble around in the dark. We need the light. But the primary application here, of course, is spiritual light. God opens our blind eyes and gives us spiritual light so that we could read and we could sing. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And the reason is because God's light conquers our spiritual darkness. It's a conquest. The light drives out the darkness. And John writes about that in chapter 1 of his gospel, that the light overcomes the darkness. So it brings visibility. Light also brings heat and warmth, which we need. Churches need to be warm and heated. It is said of some churches that they are so cold you can ice skate down the aisles. And so we need warmth. Light gives us spiritual warmth. Light gives energy. When we think of the sun now and the solar energy, heat boils water. Water brings steam, and we have a steam engine that's packed with energy. in the spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit is the light that gives us spiritual energy, gives us spiritual life. Then in thinking of verse 5, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. God is light. We must be in the kingdom of light. And it's either or. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. And light is such a common term used biblically. When David wrote in the Psalms, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, a lamp unto my path." What a position to be able to live with God in the kingdom of light and truth. That is glory. Now in verse 6, there's a problem stated. There's a claim made. If we say that we have fellowship with him and live in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There's a false claim, a pretense. And I think many people are doing that today, particularly those who just go to church in and out or hang around Bible studies. It's a false claim. It's a pretense. It's hypocrisy. And what does the Bible say about them? The Bible says they're liars. Do not live the truth. What a sad commentary. Light and darkness are contrasts. We cannot live in both kingdoms. All unbelievers live in the kingdom of darkness. And yet boast of their wisdom and boast of their knowledge, but they're living in darkness. The youngest child who is a Christian and whom God has brought into the kingdom of light knows more about life than the PhD with a string of degrees behind his name, because he does not understand sin. He does not understand God. He does not believe in heaven or hell. He does not know anything about eternal life. There is a sharp contrast. What is it? What is the truth? The truth is in verse 7. But if we live in the light, as he is in the light, we have H-A-V-E, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Transferred into the kingdom of light, living in that kingdom, we have fellowship. It's not a question, it's not a suggestion, it's not a theory. It is a dogmatic statement to be believed because it's God's word. And in fellowship with God, it means we have the right relationship with God and with one another. We don't have fellowship if one is living in the kingdom of darkness and the other is in the kingdom of light. Now, what is the basis for all this? How is this fellowship established and how is it maintained? Did you hear the last part of verse 7? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is God's provision. This is God's grace. The blood. Well, it is the blood of the sacrifice. The blood of the perfect sacrifice. The blood of the substitutionary sacrifice. It's the blood of his life. He gave himself. He shed his blood, which cost his life. Now, what does it do? This sacrificial death takes away our sin. This sacrificial death covers our sin. And that's the meaning of the word atonement. In this verse and throughout the Bible, we learn that this sacrifice cleanses us from sin. The defilement, the corruption, and the pollution of sin is in us and upon us. And the blood cleanses our defilement. Of course, we know the sacrifice, the blood of Christ, does that initially. That's a time of salvation, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, the creation of faith, where we realize that Christ is the Savior and he causes us to believe in him. But as we're going to continue to study in this chapter, we learn we have a problem. We still commit sins. And so there is the desperate need for continual cleansing. There is no way we can keep ourselves in the light. And there is no way that we ourselves can maintain fellowship. Thank the Lord for verse 7. He initiates our salvation. He keeps us in our salvation. He initiates fellowship. And he keeps us in fellowship. He brings us into the light, and he keeps us in the light. What a message. No wonder John says we apostles want to proclaim this message. So the question would be, are you in the light? Are you living in fellowship with God? If you cannot really say yes to that, are you interested? Is this a desire? Is this something that has captured your attention? Then come to God in prayer right now and ask him to give you the faith to believe this truth and to bring you into the kingdom of light, and to give you fellowship with himself through faith in Christ. Or perhaps you're a Christian this morning. Are you missing out on fellowship with the Lord? Are you missing the primary purpose of salvation? has something else, some idolatry, replaced fellowship with Christ. If you're missing out on fellowship, you're missing out on the fullness of joy and delight and peace. The people who live in fellowship with God are the people who love Him and who love one another. The people who serve the Lord and the people who serve each other. Fellowship is our position. There is no greater human experience than to live in the light in fellowship with the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great privilege that is ours as believers to think that You, the eternal God, the glorious One, in whom is no darkness, would have anything at all to do with us is a miracle of grace. To think that You would come and erase and cleanse and take away our defilement and cause us to be qualified and fit for fellowship with You brings great thanksgiving and appreciation to our hearts. Thank You for using the Apostle John to proclaim this message back then, and for the privilege of having an open Bible so that we may read it and study it this morning. Now we pray that Your power will open our eyes and open our hearts to believe in these truths and thus be in fellowship with You. To God be the glory. Amen.